May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Why we're different, we persist from our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 18. On my way home from church, I have to go through two roundabouts. They're relatively new, and occasionally I come upon a car that thinks the roundabout is a stop sign. And so I've had lots of patience, as I'm sure you have if you're not sure about these roundabouts yet. But it reminds me of a story about a hesitant driver waiting for a traffic jam to clear, and he came to a stop on an expressway ramp. You get the picture? Right. Well, the traffic started to thin, and yet this timid driver still waited. Finally, an infuriated voice came from behind, shouting, "The sign says yield, not give up." Yeah, sometimes I feel that way when I come to these roundabouts, you know. Go ahead, you can do it. Jesus tells a simple story that we ought to always pray and not lose heart. Persist. Persist. Jesus was a genius, wasn't he, at painting a picture through his very brief stories, economy of words that drive home powerful truths. And it's on display today with this one. There are two major characters in this parable. Number one, there's the judge. A narcissist. He cared not for God and for people either. He was all about himself. And the second major character in this is the widow, the epitome of helplessness and defenselessness. She had no clout, no status, no advantage that would help her in court. What she did have was a dogged persistence. When I looked up the Greek, it simply says that for the judge, this woman is causing me trouble. She bothered him. She bugged him. She exasperated him. She harassed him and irritated him and pestered him and vexed him by her continual coming. Finally, the judge says, "I will give her justice so that she won't beat me down with her continual coming." The phrase "beat me down" or "wear me out" is actually translates a boxer's term for a repeated blow right under the eye. Boom, boom, boom. What's the point of this parable? It's that a persistent woman can have her case heard by an evil judge, then how much more will God, a loving, compassionate God, hear our prayers? When we pray, we're not pleading our case before some cold, implacable judge, but before our loving, compassionate Heavenly Father, who knows and understands and cares. Persist. A British pastor once said this. He said, "Of all the activities in which a Christian engages and which are part of the Christian life, there is surely none that causes so much perplexity and raises so many problems as the activity which we call prayer." I'll say it straight out. So many of us don't pray or pray regularly because we don't think it makes any difference. It's a dreary exercise. Oh, out of habit, we may go on and pray at various times like we check it off. We prayed. That doesn't mean our heart's in it. Of course, this runs counter to what our God tells us. Our Heavenly Father tells us everywhere in His Word, I hear your prayers. I answer your prayers. But as it says in James chapter 4, verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. Why are true Christians different? Because they persist in prayer. Because they continue to pray. Listen to this. This is a very important statement now. We persist in what we believe in. We persist in what we believe in. God seems to welcome the persistence that keeps coming to Him and coming to Him and wrestling with Him. It seems in some unfathomable way that our perseverance brings pleasure to God. Like Jacob in the Old Testament, He wants us to wrestle with Him. Come to me shamelessly, impertinently, and try to put me in a headlock. And don't let go. Isn't that the essence of faith? I believe God can make a difference. I'm not going to let Him go. I'm going to keep coming. I believe, so I hold on. Because I believe all things are in your hands, Father. All things. God has an infinite tolerance for our requests, especially those that support the cause of His kingdom, but all requests. Maybe in this way He is most unlike us. We get tired. It's so tedious. Didn't I pray this once before? Haven't I prayed this over and over and over again? How many of you have a prayer that you've been praying for years, maybe even decades? Yeah, okay. I'm there. There's prayers that I've prayed. I've come to realize, though, that on this hand are the prayers that I've been praying for decades. And then as my sight and my faith goes, I see all these answered prayers. I know they're answered. I know God did this. Picture this, a toddler who comes to a parent or a grandparent and does this. Do it again, 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 do it again. Or why? No wonder parents instantly say, because I said so. Right? Or give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Or my oldest granddaughter says, what you doing? What you doing? What you doing? What you doing? You can see what I'm doing. Unlike a human mom or dad, God knows our true motives. And God knows what is best for us, better than our parents do. And God delights in our looking to Him for it all, the good things, and repeatedly coming to Him. He doesn't wear out like we do. He doesn't. In fact, He wants us to try to wear Him out, because that bespeaks of our faith. Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. Right? Today we're talking about knocking. Pound on the door. Don't just knock once and run away. Pound on the door. This is what He's telling us to do. Always pray and don't lose heart. You know, we should pray like a salesman who has the foot in the door and won't let the person close it, right? That's how we should pray. We pray believing. We should approach our Heavenly Father with confidence because He has made so many promises to us in Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible is this one. He, parentheses, our Heavenly Father, who did not spare His own Son, parentheses, Jesus Christ, but gave him up for us all, parentheses, on the cross for our salvation, how will he not give us all things? Romans 8:32. The greatest thing God to ever give you is his son. And whatever else we ask for is small potatoes in comparison. Sometimes I really believe God allows things to happen in our life so that we'll continually pray to him. Philip Yancey, in his wonderful book on prayer, writes this: I will always remember an alcoholic friend who expressed to me his frustration at praying daily for God to remove the desire to drink, only to find each morning my thoughts turning to Jack Daniel's whiskey. Was God even listening? Later, it dawned on him that his desire for alcohol was the main reason he prayed so diligently. Persistent temptation compelled persistent prayer. That really spoke to me. You know, some of the things that really bother me is what I pray for. Maybe that's God's way of keeping us close to him. Maybe there's things in your life that are just not working out. God, I'm pounding. And yet you haven't answered this. Don't you care? And yet in this, God's drawing you close. He's making you see you really do need me because you can't do anything about this. Will you persist in praying? There's a very unsettling line at the end of our scripture for today. Jesus asks, when the Son of Man, when he himself, comes back to this world, will he find faith on earth? Without faith, there's no more praying. Without prayers, it tells us there's no faith. Will he find faith on earth? Believe in God. Believe in the Savior Jesus Christ who died for you and rose for you and now intercedes for you. Then pray and keep it up. In fact, I do have to tell you, I don't know where your prayer life is now, but it's the barometer of your faith. If you're barely praying to God, I wonder where you are with him right now. I do. But if you're praying fervently and you're seeking God, that tells me that the motor is running in your faith. It's running. It means I know that God's in this world and he makes things happen. And I know he'll hear me. And I'll know he'll do what is right and best in this world. I don't know about you, but I'm praying for our country right now. I don't care what spectrum you're on. Things aren't right, one way or the other. Either side, for that matter. You know, things aren't right. I pray, God, maybe we would have never been the holy nation that some people say we were. But we did offer a lot for Christians to be able to proclaim their faith. I pray for that. I pray for people I love who just think all of this stuff is just so many words. They do not believe that Jesus is the master. They do not believe he is a savior. They look for all kinds of things to save, but not Jesus Christ. Or he's on line with other things, you know. I pray for especially people I'm close to, which is a lot of you, and of course my family. pray. Keep it up. How do you pray? If you fumble with your words, what is that to God? Just pray. Don't look for a formula. If you have to formula, there's the Lord's Prayer. But look how simple and brief that is. Do you pray long prayers? God's happy. You pray little prayers? God's happy. The point is, pray. And if you don't have good words, what is that to Him? He knows. He looks at your heart. He'll delight in your prayers if you believe in His Son, Jesus. I want to close with this. In confrontation between the stream and the rock, the stream always wins. Not because it's stronger, because it's persistent. Take Jesus' words seriously, literally. Always pray and do not lose heart. In Jesus' name and to His glory, amen. Amen. Amen.